Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. What a blessing. 2 Kings chapter 11. 2 Kings chapter 11. As we've been studying Bible characters and little known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us, and you find those all through the Word of God. Now, if it's in the Bible, it's more than just literature. It's more than just a story. It is a message that God has recorded for us, and He has a lesson for us to learn from everything that He's recorded in the Word of God. It's just a blessing to know that. And if we look back into the times of the kings, we know this in chapter 11 is the divided kingdom of Israel. We have the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. And God judges them when they do wrong, and God blesses them when they do right. And it's just a blessing, and as you study this, we can learn a lot from the different ones. But tonight, we're going to be looking at a lady by the name of Josheba. And I think that God has a message for us through her testimony in the Scriptures tonight. And so if you'll stand with me tonight, we'll read the Word of God together. We're just going to be reading here, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead," Jehu had killed him out of God's judgment upon him, "saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of you're going to laugh about that. My goodness, got tongue-tied there. Okay. Daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land." And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for just another opportunity to be in church. And thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for what we've already heard and been encouraged by. We just thank you for the encouragement that each one here brings to every other person here tonight, just in their desire to assemble themselves together. And now, Father, as we open up your word and we study this Bible character and the message you have from her life, I pray that we likewise would receive this message and apply it to our own lives. Just work in our midst and power the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, many times you read some of these Bible characters, Old Testament Bible characters, and if you're like me, you get tongue twisted for sure. But a lot of things going on here. Athaliah was the only queen to reign over Judah. She was the only one. And she paid a heavy price to be able to reign, to be the queen over Judah. She was the mother of Ahaziah, which was the king, and a descendant of David. Now God brings judgment upon Ahaziah. Jehu was raised up to kind of clean house, if you will, in the house of the Lord in God's kingdom. And so as he had slain Ahaziah, there was a vacancy on the throne. Now, normally, it would be the heir would be one of the sons of the king that had been killed or dethroned, if you will. Well, we find that Athaliah was the mother of King Ahaziah. And really, she was the one that was instructing him on how to lead the kingdom as we study the stories here. But now that she finds, the Bible says, "And Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead." Now she has to make some decisions. And she was a very evil woman. And she desired to take the throne. She desired to have the position of king or queen over Judah. The only thing is that she was not in the seed line. It would have been his sons, which would have made them her grandchildren. And just to show you how evil a sin nature we have, the Bible says, "And she arose and destroyed all the seed royal." I mean, when you read that, you think, how in the world? What kind of a person would be able to have their grandchildren slain? And that's who she was. That was the type of a woman she was. She filled herself with this sinful pride. She had no doubt convinced herself she was the one that should have been ruling over Judah, that she had been the one that was instructing her son. She had worldly ambitions. She wanted to rise to the top. She wanted to be the person, if you will, the one that everyone else answered to. And this idea of sinful pride and worldly ambition, she did what she had to do to get what she wanted. I'll tell you what, we have an evil sin nature. Outside the grace of God, if we allow ourselves, we could possibly commit any other sin than any other human being could commit. And God's recorded this. So the only way that she was going to do this was to have her grandchildren, her grandsons, all killed. And she does that. Can I tell you, that's why one of the reasons that God hates pride. It's through pride that many evil acts are committed. Well, that's not the woman I want to study tonight. Although you have to understand that to understand somewhat just the opposite. Because in verse 2 it says, "But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah." Ahaziah was the king and now he is gone. So this would be his sister. "Took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, and even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that she was not slain. He was not slain. And he was with her hid." She didn't have to just try to hide him and keep that word away from the queen now for just a month or 2 months or a year, but for 6 years as Athaliah reigned over the land. Now we think here of Jehosheba. God has given to us the record of this woman, possibly just the opposite of Athaliah. Jehosheba didn't think of herself, but responded to Ahaziah's death. Not how she could benefit from this, somebody else's loss, but she responded to it by thinking of others. She saw the wickedness of Athaliah. And she acknowledged what she was doing was beyond what any act of sin that anyone should ever commit. And so thinking of the people of God, for they needed a righteous leader. He would have been the last of the seed, which would have been connected back to the seed line of David. She thought of Joash. Didn't deserve to die. The baby that was one of the seed line of David, a rightful heir to the throne. She risked her own life for the sake of others. Now, she risked her own life. That's saying I'm putting my life on the line for others. That's acknowledging the evil that's taken place, the opposite of selfishness, the opposite of pride, the opposite of worldly ambition, and just thinking about what was right to do and looking to benefit others. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, the Bible says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it." what the Bible's saying there, he that seeks his own pleasure lives for himself. When you seek your own pleasure and you're living for just you, you're going to lose it. He that loses his life shall find it. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. And this right here, a powerful message from the life here of Josheba. And backing it up by how God would tell us, this is the one we need to learn from. This is how we need to live our lives. And 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 9, it says this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What an example. Is that not the example for Christians to live by? Yeah. Was not thinking about himself, but he had at all times others on his mind. Yeah. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And so if you study the scriptures, you'll find that that's exactly what Jesus taught his disciples. That's what Christianity ought to stand for, is not looking to live for yourself and seeking your own pleasures, but if you will, lurking to turn away from that and looking to be a help and a blessing to somebody else. And you would ask yourself maybe tonight, why should I die to self and serve God by serving others? Because that's what you have to do. That's losing your life. Yet I'm still living here, and so I've lost my life. I'm not focused on what I want and what everything is about me, but I'm focused on being here to be used by God to be a help and a blessing to whoever else. And many today would say, well, that's opposite the ways of the world. You're very right there. It is opposite the ways of the world. That's why we're strangers in this world. Amen? But this is Christ-likeness. This is the testimony that Jesus Christ set an example for all of those who would believe in him and want to follow after him. It's Christianity. So we say, what would it benefit? Why should I die to self and serve God by serving others? So I'm going to go through just a couple thoughts for you. No doubt we find here this Josheba, I mean, she put her own life on the line. And she did this for others, for the nation of Israel, for the cause of God, for to make sure that they still had a righteous king that would be able to come back. And he would. He was saved. And he would come back and he would be put on the throne. And Athaliah would suffer a death. And I wonder afterwards in hell today, I wonder what she thinks about what she did. For 6 years of selfish pleasure, was it really worth the results of her sin? But the first thing that I want to present to you, and why I should do this, why I should focus on a life of service to others. And the first thing that I want to reveal to you is it's what God says to do. Matthew chapter 20. Now, we've already quoted a few different things concerning what Jesus said about losing your life. But here in Matthew chapter 20, as he is preparing his disciples to carry on the ministries that he had established, and their ministries, they were to disciple others and pass them on to others that would continue to live Christ-like. And that has been supposedly taken place for 2,000 years now. If you're a servant of others, if you have grasped this understanding of what Christianity truly is, and you're wanting to make a difference in someone else's life, you want to be a blessing to somebody else, you want to be used as a vessel for God, it's because somebody has taught you that. That does not come of this nature of man. This is not part of the nature of man. It's not part of what's in us. It's a part of when you receive Christ, what becomes a second nature, if you will, a new nature. It's Christ in you that will help you and enable you to do this. But this is not part of the sinful nature. Sinful nature is pride. Sinful nature is selfishness. And we understand all of that. But we find here that it has been passed down from generation to generation. And that's exactly what Jesus wanted to do. And so Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25, Jesus here teaching his disciples, he said this, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them." And so everybody wants to be great so they can exercise authority over others. "But it shall not be so among you." Oh, that's Christianity. "It shall not be so among you." That's pretty clear. You're not to, that is not how you are to live your life. Even though everyone else around you might be doing that and they're all trying to get to the top of the successful ladder there, and whatever it takes to get there, whatever they have to sacrifice, whatever they have to do to get there, they want that because of selfish desires. He said, that's not the way I want you to live your life. "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." You want my blessings and you want to be great among the others. If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God and have the blessings and the power of God upon your life, then give your life to serve others. "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Biblical principles is something that we need to learn, and that is you have to give to get. When you lose your life and you turn your life over to God and say, "God, allow me, use me." When you're able to do that and you became a servant of God and you become a vessel that God's going to work through and you're looking to help other people, can I tell you that mentality, that heart, and that desire to be a blessing to others is going to come back. And you're going to find yourself being blessed beyond anything that you could purchase on your own. You're going to find yourself receiving blessings and have a certain peace and a certain joy that you cannot find in looking to satisfy yourself. The Bible says if you want to have friends, what do you have to do? Make yourself friendly. Be the friend to others. And if you're really the right kind of friend to others that you ought to be, then you're going to find that you're going to have friends. We say, "Nobody loves me." There's probably a reason why you think nobody loves you. Amen? Nobody loves me. Well, stop looking around and trying to get people to love you. And why don't you just live a life of loving others? And you'll find when you get that turned around and you become understanding a life is being used by God to bring the love of Christ to others, and you start living your life in order to love others, you will find others loving you. It's just a biblical way. You'll find it that it's something that God brings into our lives. It's just, it works. It's what God tells us to do so that he might bring joy and he might bring blessings into our lives. In Acts in chapter 20, you know the verse. I want you to turn there so you can write it down. Circle it if you haven't already done that in your Bibles. In Acts in chapter 20 and verse 35. Paul writes, he says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring," Luke actually writes the book of Acts, "but I have showed you all things," how Paul is the one that is doing this, but it says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus." Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." I've been on the both sides, as most all everyone here has. And can I tell you, it is more blessed. Amen. It does something for me when we're able to be a blessing to our children or be a blessing to our grandchildren or be a blessing to the church, be a blessing to somebody else. There's just something about that. You can't buy that. No matter how hard you try, you can't get that any other way. You have to die to self to have those kind of blessings returned to you. Romans in chapter 12. Verse 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. That means get your mind off yourself. Think of others. That's how God wants us to live. That hadn't changed. That's how Christ lived as an example. He passed that on to his disciples, who in return passed it on to their disciples, who in return has passed it on to their disciples. Outside the church, we would not have this philosophy in the world. People that are not even in church, who are thinking and giving themselves, they got that concept through the teachings of Christ, whether they acknowledge it or not, because that is not something that is of the natural, but that is something that Christ has established and has passed it down through the ages through the church and discipling the lost to be Christ-like. So it's what God has commanded us to do. It's a lifestyle that he's commanded us to do that will bring to the believer blessings you can't find any other, you can't receive any other way. The second thing that it'll do, it'll keep us from the sin of pride and the results of pride. Like Queen Athaliah. How could a person do so horrendous things through the sin of pride and selfishness? God hates pride. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 19, one of the things that God lists in the Word of God, in the Bible, that God hates is pride, because he knows how Satan will use it and the evil acts of sin that will spawn from that. I want you to look at the book of Isaiah, though, because Isaiah addresses it here too. And I love what God gives us through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 47. And verse 8. Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 8. Tell you, when all you do is think about yourself, you're going to, a lot of times, just have self, you know, pity parties. And that never has helped anybody. Can I tell you, you can't help somebody that feels sorry for themselves. You can't. You'll just add to their dilemma. Amen? But we find here in Isaiah chapter 47, verse 8. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, and sayest in thine heart, I am. It's all about me. It's all about my pleasures. It's all about my enjoyment. It's all about what I want. I am. And none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children, the widowhood. God says, I'm going to judge you. The very thing that you are prideful over, the very thing that you think that you are better than anybody else and you shouldn't happen to you, it's going to come back to you. That's what he's saying right here. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children, the widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. Because of the selfishness comes from the Satan and the devil himself. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, and thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I'm the most important one. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Can I tell you, the reason we ought to live our lives as God would have us to in thinking of others is to keep us from this sin of pride and the results of it. This was only going to happen to those that are filled with themselves. The third thing is we look into scriptures and find out this idea, it'll keep us from the root of all evil. Now, you know, the Bible says it's the love of money is the root of all evil. Go back there with me, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9, But they that will be rich, that's what you're living your life for, that's what you think is going to be the solution to all your problems. Money might solve some problems, but it will open up and create more problems. Money's not the solution to problems. Money's not the solution to sorrows. Money's not the solution. It's not going to bring the happiness that people think it's going to. That's why no matter how much money you have, those that have more money than know what to do with always have to have more money. There's never an end to it because they can never gain what they think they're going to gain through finances. But they that will be rich, that's how they're living their life, shall fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's where this comes from. This idea of the love of money comes from a selfish desire and the pride of life, wanting this so that I can exalt myself financially. For the love of money. And why do I have the love of money? Pride. Selfishness. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, you've seen somebody else want it, you covet, I want that. And money's what's going to get me everything that I want. It's going to give me everything that I want that somebody else has. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, because that is not how God would have us to live our lives. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's everything wrong with putting it at the top of our priority list and having a love for money. Loving money more than loving God. Loving money and desire for money more than loving others. It is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Why? Because it's not God's way. It'll keep us from the root of all evil. Why should I die to self and live for others? Well, another thing, it'll keep strife out of the home. Now the church. Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. It's just the ways of, that's how God tells us to live our lives. If you want to have the blessings of God, if you want to have peace in your life, you want to have more contentment in your life. Philippians in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now that's opposite this old sinful nature, amen? This old sinful nature wants to always exalt herself. I want to be better than everybody else. And sometimes that competitive spirit, amen? If you're not careful, that'll get the best of you. Now, there's nothing wrong with competition, but it's not about being better than somebody else. It's not about putting yourself above somebody. That's what we have to be careful about. The Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Have you tried to put yourself in somebody else's shoes from time to time? I think every husband needs to put himself in his wife's position from time to time. Every wife needs to put herself in her husband's shoes from time to time to experience what they're going through. To dwell with each other according to knowledge. The Bible tells us we need to dwell with each other according to knowledge. Know your spouse. Know their needs. Know how I can be a help and a blessing to them. If you never understand where they're coming from, if you never put yourselves where they're at, you'll never be the spouse that you need to be. It's not about 50-50. It's not about that. It's about 100% giving yourself to be all that God wants you to be as a husband to your wife, as a wife to your husband, as a father to your children, as a mother to your children. It's not about what they can do for me. It's about what God has put me here to be able to do for them. And when you live that way, and if you try to put yourselves in other people's shoes, can I tell you, it'll help you have a better understanding, a greater respect for the other person, and a greater desire to be all that you can be to be a help to them, even in the church sometimes. I don't think there's any other assembly anywhere in the world that is quite like the assembly of the children of God. Because you do have those that are very well-to-do sitting right next to those that might come on the bus ministry. And not think that they're better than the other. They're able to come in and we worship the very same God, and God is no respecter of persons. And if you're right with God, you don't think yourself better than anybody else, but they have different situations of life. And they might not respond to you like maybe what you're used to people responding to you for. They might not be as polite. They might, whatever it might be. But if you come in and you just try to help put yourself in the shoes of somebody else and say, I'm not going to be offended, easily offended. I am not going to let that person, because they sit in my pew, get to me. I'm not going to let this happen or that happen. I'm going to come in, and I'm going to come in to worship God, and I'm going to die to self, and I'm going to look to be a blessing to somebody else. That'll help. That'll help keep the peace in the home. That'll help the home to be all that it can be. It'll help the church to be all that the church can be. A refuge for all. Amen. Church doors are open to anybody and everybody that would walk through these doors. Can I tell you, I believe that everyone that comes to this church, God has directed them here through circumstances and situations. And we'll give an account how we respond to everyone that walks through the doors. I would hate to be one to give an account for running somebody off that God sent here to be helped simply because they sit in my pew. Simply because they weren't dressed the way I thought they should be dressed. That's sad. No, praise the Lord. God has a church, and if you can't live the Christian life here, how in the world can you live it in the world? We ought to come with this mentality of Christ-likeness, having a love one for another, wanting to be a help and a blessing to each other, putting others before ourselves. The last thing, and I think this may be one of the most important things. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. There are much in the scriptures concerning this. Dying to self. Thinking of others. Josheba, what a great testimony. The opposite of pride and selfishness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Dying to self and living the life that Christ would have us to live, it'll help us to be soul winners. It'll help us to have a desire to see people get saved. Whether they're on the bus routes or whether they're person next working next to me at work, whether it's another teenager at school, whether it's a family member. If you're saved, you have something that they need, even though they don't know it. And the only way that you are going to be able to pass on to them what you have in Christ is for them to see something different in you. And that which is different in you is Christ-likeness. And so as we become more like Christ, and that is dying to self and living a life that God is pleased with, we will have a better opportunity to win souls for Him. So we think of our Bible character tonight, Jehosheba. She saw what Athaliah did, and she knew how wicked. And she determined that she would be just the opposite. She didn't think of herself, but she thought of others. She put her life on the line, and she hid Joash for 6 years. And God blessed her actions, and Joash becomes king, a righteous king. He did that which was right in God's eyes, a righteous king that helped the people of God. But it hadn't been for her, Joash would have never had an opportunity to be the righteous king that the people would need. You never know what your act of kindness, how it can help change a person's life. Let's be determined to die to self and be a blessing to others. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.